Great friends, what is going on a Thursday afternoon? I don't know. I do know it's Thursday. I'm not 100% sure of the date. I think it's episode 203 of the podcast, and I think it might be day 66 of the California quarantine. Does that sound right to everybody?
3 for 3.
No shit.
Nice.
Wow. What's
the date, though?
May
21st-ish?
Ding, 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 ding.
You got all your faculties. You got all your faculties today.
Oh, hell's to the yeah. I'm going to take care of my chickens and the whole deal, man.
That's right.
So listen, we're just getting rolling here on a Thursday afternoon. I start off, as always, with special love and shout outs to our great friend sponsors, Corky's Pest Control, 1-800-901-1102. Yo, Cork. So happy to hear from Corky yesterday, still quarantined. And he told me, for a young guy who's healthy like yourself, go live. For a guy who's a little bit older, got a few more miles, you know, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to keep quarantined for now. But I'll tell you this, that Corky, even from home and under quarantine, is coming up with ideas for you to use his service and for you to possibly make some money. Refer a great friend. I'm a Corky's customer. I tell Alex he should become a Corky's customer. He does become a Corky's customer. We've got a love triangle, and I'm getting $35. Alex is getting great service, and Corky is working with Alex, and we're all supporting each other. So refer a great friend, Corky's Pest Control, 1-800-901-1102. What do you say to that, Brown Man?
That sounds like a good idea and an easy way to fill up your gas tank.
Right. $35. I need to go fill up my gas tank.
They should call it a trip on Corky.
It's nice. It's a good idea. Mountain Trust Mortgage and Realty Services, 858-376-1299. Gary Cooper, a.k.a. Koopaloop. Do you want to save money? Do you want to make sure that your ship is stabilized during these rocky times? Call Gary, 858-376-1299. Refinance, if that's the case. Sell, buy, whatever you're doing in real estate, talk to Gary Cooper, 858-376-1299. And also, Tory Holistics. Friend of mine called me today. You guys will both love this. You guys know Felix the Kitty Cat. One of the wise guys from our summers at Del Mar. Kitty Cat calls me today to tell me that freaking Browner's on fire. That Alex Padilla is so great. I love that guy. He goes, and you know what I'm doing right now? He told me this. He goes, you know what I'm doing right now? I said, no, what? He goes, I'm standing outside Tory Holistics and I'm going in. He said, I'm going in, and you know what I'm going to get? I said, tell me. He goes, I'm going to get some reefer. This is what he told, because he's old school.
He's so old school.
He's old school like that, right? And he's like, I'm going in, and I'm getting some reefer. And he goes, and I'm going to tell him that I came in because of the show. And I sent him a text with a link that was the Tory Holistics link to our page where you can save 20% by using the promo code Grande. And the dude was stoked. And he went in, and he was singing the praises. And it was awesome. And he got his reefer.
Shout out to Kitty Cat. Never thought I'd say it out loud.
Shout out to Tory Holistics, because now if you go in the store, you don't need cash no more. They're taking debit cards inside, and debit payment for curbside pickup will be coming soon.
Nice. That's big.
Yeah, that's a big game changer right there. Listen, I want to send special shout outs to the Total T Clinic. I had a little bit of a rough, depressing kind of day yesterday, and I'm not like that. I'm like the ultimate optimist, okay? But can I tell you guys a story that is a little on the sad side to start today's show, if you don't mind?
Sure, it's real life.
I hate to, because, and I may have told this to you guys yesterday, but I haven't told it to all the great friends. You know, with this show over the years, sometimes we become close, like in real life, with listeners. It happens. It happens a lot when you're doing appearances and you're going to different places, you meet people and sometimes you hit it off with people. We had a listener for many years. His name is Marty Goldstein. He lives in Calabasas, but he was from San Diego, went to San Diego State High School in San Diego, et cetera. Story a couple of years ago was he was in Las Vegas with a mortgage broker group on Super Bowl weekend. And that's what Linda Welby's husband does. So she goes to Vegas for every Super Bowl every year. And she's talking to this gentleman, Marty Goldstein, one day. And he says, yeah, I'm from San Diego and I'm a huge Charger fan. And she said, do you listen to Scott and BR? And he said, oh my God, I listen to Scott and BR every day from Calabasas. And she said, well, I'm Linda. And he goes, get out of here. You're Linda Welby from Scott and BR? And they've hit it off and become friends. Marty would call me every year and say, hey, get a hold of me like on Facebook Instant Messenger. He'd say, hey, I'm coming to the racetrack on Friday night. I know you guys are doing the show. Can we grab a drink afterwards? I'd like to introduce you to my girlfriend. He would say to me, hey, bro, we're kindred spirits. I'm 50-something Jewish, divorced, kids, going through all the trials and tribulations you're going to. Dude, Linda Welby sent me a text yesterday and told me that Marty was found by his girlfriend, Galit, who I also know his girlfriend by name. She found him dead at his house.
Ugh.
Fucking dead, dude. 50-year-old, 50-something-year-old guy. Like I said, you know, he said kindred spirits, of course, naturally. I've hung out with this guy many times. I feel like I know Marty Goldstein, not just, hey, he was a listener in Calabasas. You guys, for all I know, probably may have met him along the way at the racetrack when we were doing summer broadcasts. I just got to send out love and shout outs to Marty and his family and great friends everywhere who may have interacted with Marty on different social platforms or coming to different radio appearances. We always talk about our YouTube chat section and our Facebook chat section and how we actually are part of a community together. Marty was part of that. And so I'm just sending out love to Marty. I guess my point was, Total T, I was depressed yesterday, yeah, man. I feel like I need to go get a shot.
Well, hey, man, I don't want to get all like real on people and stuff, but I think during this pandemic, when your life gets taken away from you and you're trapped in your house, you start appreciating everything a little bit more. But just because we're in a pandemic doesn't mean that the rest of life stops. Life can be taken away from you. You appreciate what you got. Love your loved ones. Tell everybody you love you, that you love them. And just appreciate life, man, because you never know when it's going to go away.
Well said. Very well said. Well, anyway, I just wanted to send out some love and shout outs because, you know, I got a call from somebody today that said, hey, can we get together and talk about some business stuff and, you know, meet up? And I'm like, no.
They didn't try to Zoom you?
No, I'm like, no. They actually wanted to meet face to face. And I'm like, no chance, man.
Did you want me to cut that clip out where you said about day 30, 28, whatever it was, that you will no longer be doing face to face meetings? As much of a risk taker that you are during Corona, you have now come to realize that you are a Zoom man.
I'm a man of action, Grande. Okay. Mm-hmm. And as a man of action cannot be in his car for 2 or 3 hours a day going place to place. Man of action is home based right here, and man of action makes shit happen right from here. Don't ask me for lunches anymore. Don't ask me for face to face meetings. Don't ask me if you can come to me. I don't need that anymore. It's fine. You want to see me? I want to see you. We can Zoom, unless you're all pixelated like my man Brown.
Can I be 100%?
I'm not pixelated.
He's not pixelated right now. All right. Good timing on that. 100% honest with you guys. The number one reason I do not want to go back to the studio is driving to Solana Beach every day.
Oh man, that drive back. Though.
I am so much more productive in my time where I'm not sitting in a car.
I agree. I totally agree. Look, I think this is the future. I really do. I don't feel other than here's what happens when you're doing Zoom interviews. There can be some little delays here and there.
Lag almost,
you know? And so that can be just a little bit, but I think I think we've all become a little bit tolerant to, hey, I'm watching CNN. I'm watching Fox. Got to be balanced. I'm watching CNBC. Okay. I'm watching all these channels.
The Young Turks.
And they're all experiencing the same sort of technological issues. I don't give a shit how big of a network you might be. Hey, restaurants are opening because now that the COVID stuff is, the world is reopening. That is happening as we speak. Restaurants are reopening. People are going to be able to dine in restaurants. Maybe the capacity will be smaller. Maybe the prices will be higher. But
would you like a running list of restaurants that are currently opening as of today?
Yeah, go ahead. Let me hear what you got.
Okay. This is according to San Diego Eater. It was a great, if you live in a neighborhood like North Park, you should subscribe to this thing. Anyways, Zinc in Little Italy is now open. Mike Hess Brewing is now open, except the Miramar location. STK San Diego now open. Little Miss Brewing now open.
Ah.
Lou Boheme. Now open. Half Door Brewing now open. Subterranean Coffee Boutique open. Kettner Exchange. Puesto open.
Oh, yeah.
Caesarina. Firehouse American Eatery and Lounge. Sabika now open. Backyard Kitchen and Tap. Harney Sushi. Barbarella. And Foca Down all open.
I'm going to Puesto today.
What you going to get?
Surf and Turf Tacos, man. They got some bomb tacos.
I love me some Puesto. But you ain't going to get me paying $20 for tacos. I'll go there on Tuesdays. And you know what?
I'm going back because it's as a celebration.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. I mean, Browner says he's in.
To Puesto.
Do you guys think you're going back into restaurants right away?
Hell no. No. My roommate works at Mike Hess, and I'm like, motherfucker, when you get home, straight in the shower, you bag your clothes. I don't want you're here for another, what day is today? 21st. You're here for another 10 days. Don't be, bring that coronavirus home.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to Presto, but I like what they have on their menu, but I'm going to get it to go because their menu has been modified because they still have pickup, but it was modified. Now, hopefully, they'll mint their wide range of menu here, will be back.
Here in North Park, there is a thing passed by the North Park Council. They're closing 30th Street from Polk to University, and they're waiting for San Diego City Council to approve it. They're going to close the two long blocks of the street to do outdoor dining for restaurants on 30th Street.
So that because, is genius.
Because of the perceived transmission of corona indoors, they're figuring if we can have a couple people inside, a lot of people outside, it's less transmission that way. So mm-hmm. we're going to see a lot of new modifications, I think. But I'm not running back to a restaurant.
I know you can take drinks to go. That's something that everybody seems to like. Okay, listen, let me say
Here's another question. Once they will they be able to reel back drinks to go? Because drinks to go has been clutch.
Game changer, awesome. Dude.
Who's going to let you say, nah, man, y'all got to reel that back in? Because that's like Vegas, baby. You can walk, have your drink in the street, go from bar to bar. That has been clutch. I don't want that to go away.
I know. It's fun. I know. All right. Let me do this. Let me say to everybody who's with us today, if you're in our YouTube chat, if you're in our Facebook chat, wherever you're listening currently or watching currently, or to everybody that's going to listen and watch on their own time when we're not actually podcasting / broadcasting, we're happy everybody's here on a Thursday. I have a bunch of stuff I'd really like to get into and still to come an interview with my friend Howie Denaroff. Now, for those of you that bitched and complained earlier this week about the interview with Dylan Barber, the bachelor dude who you thought was a pretty boy and he was soft and Browner killed him in a debate and all this other stuff. Okay?
Listen, hold on, bro.
Yeah.
I got to tell y'all, we fucked up. The three of us as a group, and I would never do this, but I know y'all don't really give a shit. Dude, there's footage of him crying on Bachelorette in Paradise or whatever it's Bachelorette in Paradise. And none of us saw it. None of us saw it before we talked to him. This would have made the conversation so much better if we had this video. We probably couldn't air the video because of ABC, but if we had seen it and had been able to have that conversation with him about the way he behaved. Oh my God.
I think that's the point of Scott's bringing up. It's like, we didn't even know who he was.
Dude, right, we'd have Emmys. Because I know how we do. If we'd have seen this video before that interview, we'd have Emmys lined up for all three of us. One apiece. Yeah.
Well, dude, let's bring him back. Bring the dude back. Let me tell you something. I donated my second meal yesterday on his app, Visor. I don't know, whatever. I walked 15,000 steps, 17,000 steps, something like that. Dog? And I donated my second meal on his app. So I like the guy, you know, I think it's cool.
I do
too. Cool relationship. So here's the thing. So for those of you that said, hey man, come on, dude, I don't even know who he is. And I don't want to hear about this today. I'm going to overwhelm you with sports, but in the world of sports media, in the world of sports broadcasting, the name Howard Denaroff may not mean a lot to you, but I'm telling you in the business, he's a huge star. Howie Denaroff is the guy who runs NFL broadcasts for Westwood One, which also means the Masters. It means the Final Four. It means the Olympics. Howie Denaroff is the most important guy in the world of sports radio broadcasts. Understand? Not sports radio talk, sports radio game broadcasts. There's nobody more important in this business than Howie Denaroff. And we're going to talk to Howie about the future of sports broadcasting coming up in just a matter of moments. But speaking of sports for a moment, in no particular order, Alex, but I just want to get right to this. Mm-hmm. San Diego State's football team, and I'm saying it like this because San Diego State is saying their football team, their football players will come back to school July 7th, start training, start preparing for the season. I haven't read when USC plans to come back, but if San Diego State's coming back, so is USC. I haven't read when UCLA is going to come back, but I think this is an excellent step. I said I thought college football would be played this year. I think it should be played this year. I don't have any thought per se about waivers and liability and testing. Let somebody else figure that out. I'm bottom lining, and you can work backwards. Bottom line, play the games. And by the way, let me say one other thing. Don't just play football. Play everything. I'm being selfish
here. That's where it's going to.
But I'm being selfish here. But play it all, man.
That's not going to happen.
Well, I know. But again, I'm being selfish. I'm admitting it. Play women's soccer. Play
diving.
Men's soccer. Diving, gymnastics, whatever sport it is that these kids, you know, who are really looking forward to continuing their athletic careers beyond high school, you know, and the college has made commitments to them, you know, play these games.
That's where Browner's topic of student athlete is. This is where they're going to show their true colors.
Absolutely.
This is where the universities are going to reveal themselves, which ones are going to try and do every sport and which ones are just going to say, fuck it. Football only. That we're going to find the true colors of universities this fall.
That's going to be the tale when you see Clemson only playing football, when you see Duke only playing football and basketball, when you see North Carolina only playing football and basketball. That's going to be your tale. Because I can tell you right now, if you do gymnastics and you do Kentucky against West Virginia, against Texas, they all flip on the same mat. They all jump off the same like little horse, whatever that thing is called. They all do backflips off those two things, those two bars. They all work off the same stuff. So if you want to talk about transmission in an enclosed building, gymnastics is something I don't think a lot of people have thought about. That's a red flag for me.
Well, gymnastics, I don't even know how prevalent it is in college, but I'm being selfish here. I want women's soccer to play in Conference USA. And so Conference USA is not the Pac-12. It's not the Atlantic Coast Conference. It's not the Big Ten. You know, it's not the Southeastern Conference. I want Conference USA to play women's soccer. And I'll tell you, well, go ahead.
Has your daughter received any notifications from Middle Tennessee? Because the NCAA lifted sanctions that now you can have athletes back on campus June 1st.
Well, so she is absolutely preparing to go to Middle Tennessee in early July when training camp and school is supposed to start. And you know, she's getting messages from her coaches saying, you know, here's today's workout. Here's tomorrow's workout. You know, here's the modifications if you have any injuries. They are preparing these kids remotely as if we're planning on playing. So, look, I'll just say it like this. The fact that San Diego State, and I said it yesterday, want to start home base. The fact that San Diego State has announced that football players are coming back and they plan on playing this season, to me, that's a positive step.
I agree.
And a step that I think all three of us saw coming, right? Like, yeah. Even when Cal State announced online only for the majority of classes, it wasn't like, oh, football's done. Like, no, it was a possibility that was probably never going to happen, only because football is the moneymaker for every university. That's it. It's the moneymaker.
They have to play football. All these major Power Five conferences have to play football because football generates so much financial dependency for the other sports. It's trickle-down economics when it comes to sports, and football is the way that other sports get fed. And so football was going to be played. The greed level of it is just going to be what I'm looking for.
Would that have been a better strategy to say, instead of saying, we're going to go play in L.A. if you guys don't, you know, give us our stadium? Should they have just been like, well, we're not going to play until a vaccine's ready? You know,
that would have been so smart.
A little smarter. Like, we're going to be responsible. You know, we'll take our time. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. But football was always going to be played.
At SDCCU Stadium, you can socially distance there because no one will be there.
Right. I mean, you can have a sellout. Literally. Socially distancing. You know what I mean? We got 10,000 people. They're every six seats. We are sold out.
Sold out.
Majority of San Diegans aren't going to be like, damn, I can't go.
I know, right? Let me keep rolling here. And again, I'm sending out love to Corky's Pest Control, to Mountain Trust Mortgage and Realty Services, the Total T Clinic. Shout outs to Tory Holistics and Rock and Wine and SMSGlobal.com and Coast Care Partners.
SMS back in their offices in downtown today.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Hey, way to go, guys. Congratulations. Shout out. Yeah. SMS Global, it's amazing. In fact, I'll tell you guys really quick, as I'm playing with the sided app, not the website, but the app. One of the things that's so cool is when you go to share something, you know, you can share on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn right now. But when you go to click the share button on the app, you can text to people. And I think that's so fun because, like, I have a bunch of group texts with friends, and I'll want to put a sided debate into a group text. And with 30 people in a group text and everybody opening it, you know how many people are going to just click on the link right from the text? So for me, it was a big deal to say when you share, you got to be able to share via text as well. Learned all that from smsglobal.com. Okay, speaking of football for a moment. We talked about this Michael Jordan documentary nonstop. Okay. And we all had the question, who's going to be the next? What team, what individual star athlete would be next for a 10-part documentary? Well, it's not a 10-parter, but it's a 9-parter. and Tom Brady is next. And it's interesting because he's still playing, right? Like Jordan hasn't played in nearly 20 years. So the stories were from 25 years ago, 30 years ago, and you're like, whoa, that's jarring my memory. Tom Brady, this is incredible that he's up next. And by the way, worth it. I couldn't think of anybody better to use than Tom Brady, because who's a greater champion in sports than Brady? And the other part of it is who was the bigger underdog? You know, I mean, Brady was a star quarterback at Michigan, but he wasn't a first round draft choice. I mean, Jordan was a star at North Carolina and was projected to be a great player, not necessarily turn into Michael Jordan. Tom Brady was never expected to be an NFL starter. He was probably not even expected to be a guy to even make a roster. And I love Tom Brady, especially the early stories of Brady at Michigan. When Brady goes in to see his coach and he's complaining about every guy, and this guy doesn't run routes right, and this guy doesn't block right. And the coach said to him, this was documented in stories, where the coach says to him, he says, Tom, you worry about you. Just worry about what you do, and everybody else will be a lot better if you're better at being you. Stop worrying about everybody else. And I just always loved that story, that he, there was a time where Tom Brady could have gone a completely different direction. And to turn into the star that he's become, the great champion that he's become, football's GOAT, I love the fact that ESPN is going to do a 9-piece documentary on Tom Brady. Browner, I can see you shaking your head. Why?
Bruh, that's already stale. As usual, Mike done it and nobody should follow it. I've seen Tom versus Time. I'm good. Unless you're going to talk about Deflategate, unless you're going to talk about the Tuck Rule, unless you're going to talk about them stealing video from somebody else during the Super Bowl practice, bruh, I know enough about you, okay? We have seen inside the Tom Brady bubble. I'm good. Give me somebody else, okay? If we're talking about the next person we want to see, I want to see LeBron. Because you know LeBron going to have to do one now.
Here's the problem with John Browner and the generation that we live in right now.
Don't do that to me.
Is the problem is that Mike and ESPN will run across this with any current player right now. Nobody is as universally loved and appreciated as Michael Jordan because he did not grow up in the age of social media. There will never be another one like Michael Jordan because every single thing is dissected about every single player now on social media. You've never had more access to players ever in our lives than you do right now. He said this Tom versus Time. I never watched it, but it's available. We will never have a documentary like Michael Jordan because no one has ever been as universally loved as Michael Jordan. Even Knicks fans like Michael Jordan. So to say, as soon as the Tom Brady news came out, it was already universally hated and no one's even seen a second of it. It's just the way that it's going to be now. They're going to run into problems because of the day of social media. Everybody already has their mind made up about everybody. Everybody's thoughts about every other athlete's already out there. It's just going to be a problem. If you're going to do a current age thing, besides Kobe because he died, you're not going to have the response that you did for Michael Jordan.
I disagree in this, and by one person. You're right. It would be hard to do. Steph Curry is loved by everyone. No. Everyone loves Steph Curry. Who don't like Steph Curry?
Clipper fans.
Stop it. Why? What'd he do to them?
Beat him every time in the playoffs with Lob City. I mean, that's just, I mean, not everybody loves Steph Curry. It's just, look at, Steph Curry was getting slammed on Twitter every time when people say he's the best shooter ever. He's just not, this doesn't exist anymore.
But people are slamming Jordan. People are slamming Jordan now.
And you want to talk about boring? Steph Curry's boring as hell.
What? Wow, come on,
let
man.
Let me ask you a question.
There's some bias right now. Let me ask you a question. Coming out.
But let me ask you a question.
Never did anything to Lakers. We haven't been in the playoffs the whole time. He was good.
But I just have a question to ask. Why is Tom Brady, when you say, you know, some people, like Jordan was universally loved. You know, I would argue that Knicks fans and Heat fans and Jazz fans.
Pistons
and,
fans.
And Celtics fans. I would argue that there are plenty of fan bases that didn't just love Michael Jordan. Different time, of course. And Jordan now, I would take a guess, if 100% of people love Jordan going into this documentary, I'll bet you about 60% of them still love Jordan and about 40% of them think he's an asshole.
Well, here's why.
Go ahead.
Because it happened 22 years later. Tom Brady is still playing and will still probably playing next year. And he's still out in the public eye. He's put a golf event on freaking TNT on Sunday. And he's out there like selling his fake pills. It's just, he's still too current. He's still too current. If you do the Tom Brady thing in 10 years after he's done playing and he's sitting on a couch looking at everyone talking shit about him on an iPad or whatever.
Eating a kale salad.
Yeah, then yeah, that's got some appeal to it. But he's still playing right now. He's not going to be all open right now.
Well, I'll tell you, this is, as I think of all these guys who I would want to hear from next, truthfully, LeBron, I don't really need a LeBron thing right now. I think Tom Brady's the greatest champion in sports of the last 20 years, and I think it would be really interesting. Okay, look, let me do this. Let me move on to Howie Dinaroff because this is a very interesting interview. As sports fans, how is sports going to be different on television and on radio? You're accustomed to knowing that the announcers are there and they can see the crowd, hear the crowd, feel the environment. In radio, you know that somebody's down on the field. What can you tell us? Because we are driving around. We can't see it. But sports television and sports radio broadcasts are about to change drastically, at least for the short term. Howard Dinaroff from Westwood One Sports, I promise you this, even if you don't know who he is the most important executive when it comes to broadcasting live sports on radio, the number one guy in the industry. He's the guy. Been at it for a long time. So here's our conversation deep into the world of sports media and how sports broadcasts go into the future. My man, Howie Dinaroff. Howie, where are you?
I'm in my house in New Jersey.
Yeah, where in New Jersey?
I'm in Springfield, New Jersey.
Uh-huh. And I'm just asking...
A couple blocks from Baltusrol Golf Club. That's the best way to describe it.
From what golf club?
Baltusrol. I'm right down the street.
Yeah. Should I know that?
It's where they had the PGA Championship a couple years ago, U.S. Open. They're it's a famous golf course. I don't play there, but, you know, so anyway.
Well, Yeah, we're starting. If you said Augusta, I would know it. If you said Augusta, I'd know the place, you know?
I want to really get
to know where you're at and what you're doing. That's okay. Take your time. I see you're wearing a Kentucky Derby jacket. That looks good.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done the broadcast for the last several years. It's one of the most unique events and favorite events on any sports fan's calendar. Obviously, it's been pushed back this year like everything else. We're hoping to have it run on Labor Day weekend. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just excited that things are starting to come back for someone who's been in the business as long as you've been in. I think the whole future of sports broadcasting might be different as leagues may be playing in front of empty places, empty parks, empty arenas. So what do you think? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, obviously, we're hopeful that sports will be coming back soon. There's been reports today for about the NHL formulating a plan to come back and sooner rather than later, which is encouraging. The NFL, obviously, as everyone's heard, is planning on playing in some way, shape, or form in September, even if that has to fluctuate a little bit. I think – as a fan, we all want it. We all need it. But as somebody who's been in this business my whole life and wanted to be in this business for the 20 years prior to that, I can't wait. It's been frustrating. It's been a shame all along. I understand why we had to shut everything down. Completely agreed with shutting everything down. Hopefully, you know, without any further damage to people's livelihoods and finances and everything else, and health, most importantly, that we can get back to some semblance of sports here before too long. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Let me ask you this, though. As someone who covers NFL football games, you're in an NFL football stadium every single weekend. There's 70,000 people in these stadiums. Yeah. would you, if they said everything goes back to normal, fans can come, and I told you there were going to be 70,000 people in the brand new SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, you feel as a New Yorker and as someone who's kind of in the hottest of hotbeds of COVID, would you feel comfortable going to a stadium with 70,000 people?
Well, as you know, from, you know, working with us and just being in a press box, you know, our area where we do the broadcast is isolated. We have our own little broadcast booth, at least for the NFL. When you're talking about basketball, your courtside, that's another story. So in our little insulated booth with, you know, 6 people, 8 people, 10 people, I wouldn't worry about that as much. And you're not mingling, you go early, you're not mingling with 70,000 fans. But I expect several people on our cruise to express concern or not want to travel. And being on an airplane cross country isn't exciting right now. But if that's the way you have to go to get to the games, then it's what I do. It's what I've done my whole adult life. It's what I want to continue to do. So would I go to those games? Yes, I would. But I'm in a different situation than many other people. I also feel that I can't ask other people to go travel if I'm not willing to do it myself. Mm-hmm. I think that would be hypocritical. So I would be there, yes, but certainly we'd take more precautions than we always have.
I would do it. Listen, I'd do it right now, Howie. I would do it right now. In other words, I would get on a plane, no gloves, no mask. I would go to a hotel. I'd get in an Uber. I'd go to a stadium. I would bounce around before the game and shake everybody's hands like I normally do if everybody was open to doing that, or fist bump or elbow or whatever they want to do. I'll kick if you want. And then I would also interview after a game, and I would take the risk. In other words, I don't know who that guy is. I don't know where he's been. I don't know where his wife has been. I don't know where his girlfriend's been, whatever. I would do this with a microphone fearlessly. Not because I'm so arrogant, just because I'm willing to take the chance. I mean, I think I put my life on the line every time I get in a car, every time I get on an airplane. I would do it all as if they told me go back to normal, I would do it all normal. That's all I'm saying.
And I understand that. I think not wearing a mask on a plane, there's nothing wrong with doing that. It might be helpful. I understand your point. Nobody's going to shake your hand right now. They're going to run the other way. But I also, you know, it's not going back to normal. Let's be realistic. I think, unfortunately, I don't think the decision of going to these stadiums is going to be an option in a lot of cases. I think you're going to see more and more broadcasts being done the way NASCAR on Fox was this past weekend, where you have the camera guys on site and some audio guys on site and the director in a truck, but the announcers in a studio somewhere looking at all the different monitor feeds and calling it that way. And I don't know that leagues will forbid it. I don't know that teams will forbid it, or certain cities may be worse than others. But I do know that certain networks might suggest that for the safety of their employees. And let's be honest, everyone's lost a lot of money financially in this, not just individuals, but companies. And so to save the cost of traveling people across the country and putting them in hotels and everything else, if technology allows us to do this, why would they not try to do that to start? Because quite honestly, fans are more willing to accept that right now under the circumstances. Look at what we're doing right now. This never would have flown for a broadcast, you know, a year ago, 6 months ago, 3 months ago. Look at some of the things we've seen with the NFL draft and the audio, the video quality. People understand if it's not exactly the way it was, at least to start temporarily. I don't know what the shelf life of that will be, but I would suspect if hockey comes back, you'd see most broadcasts being done offsite. If basketball and baseball come back, I would think the same thing, especially basketball, because you're right on top of the players courtside normally as a broadcaster.
Do you think that the technology is going to change things as in the foreseeable future? Because I know everything is going to be different, like you just said, but from your standpoint of how you interact, how you get to a stadium, how there are certain things that you need to do, do you think that that's going to help or hinder the process of bringing people a live televised event?
Well, for us on radio, You know, and I'll use Scott as the example. You know, Scott's done sidelines for us for years, and the sideline reporter role is, I would imagine, seriously in jeopardy, because what player is going to be willing to go face-to-face and talk to not just Scott, but anybody? You want to maintain your distance, right? And they're trying to keep it just to the people on their team that have been tested, that have been, you know, quote-unquote, you know, restricted. And so I can't foresee a situation where he can go up to the coach before the game and say, hey, tell me about this player. Or never mind a post-game interview. I don't foresee that happening. And so for us, you know, if we want to do interviews, we're going to have to do it on the cell phone before a game, if, you know, or on Zoom or anything else. And hopefully we'll still get the audio content from the players talking about the game. But I think, you know, your immediate post-game celebration answers questions is gone. Nobody said this to me, but that's my take on it. I just don't foresee it unless you can put an empty headset, you know, and you leave it by the sidelines for a player to pick it up after the game and the PR guy goes and brings it to him and puts them on it. But you're never going to get a second player to put on the same headset afterwards to do the interview either.
Hey, I'm not sure how much soccer that you take into your life, but I know as someone that I watch Univision hardly has broadcasters at the games. BN Sports, right, their top team is never in Spain or Italy. It's the same guys calling a game in Spain and then calling a game in Italy the next day. Have you guys, I know it's different in radio, but have you guys reached out to those networks yet? It's like, how do you do this every single day? And it's basically like seamless. It's you don't even notice it really.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of differences, and I'll take the radio part last, but keep this in mind. Soccer of the major sports, if you will, is the easiest to call off of a monitor because not much happens on the back end of the field if the ball is in play here. So you can see mostly everything with one camera or a second camera. And if you're doing it on video, they're feeding you in the studio. You may see one picture on TV, but the announcers may see two or three pictures that they're looking at and monitors in front of them that the TV network is providing. If we're calling it off of radio, unless we have access to those same three or four pictures, if we're trying to call it off of the over-the-air feed that the consumer is watching, that's very different.
Yeah.
Especially in a football game, you know, or a basketball game, you won't see a fast break developing. You won't see the passing lanes on a wide receiver going deep. You won't see pushing off if it's not in the frame. So it's much more difficult to do unless you have those alternate video feeds. So that's the biggest issue for any radio network or local broadcast calling it off of a monitor. Soccer is, I'm not going to say it's easy. It's not easy at all, but it's much easier than doing football. Even baseball, which, you know, you could take the home plate view out, but you want to be able to see the pitch, but you also want to see where the outfielders are. You almost need two cameras.
How readily available is that all 22? Because you have NFL Game Pass and it's available after, but it's not available live anywhere.
Not available now. I don't know to the extent that if the NFL decides to restrict broadcasters from on site or suggests that we don't become on site, and maybe the TV networks will be asked to provide it. And that's just, you know, the NFL is easier because it's always a network. Let's talk about the NHL or the NBA or baseball where you have local broadcasts. If the visiting team isn't going to come in, I would imagine the home broadcast is going to be responsible for providing to the visiting, just like when you don't go to their stadium or arena, you would expect them to provide it for you. But I don't know how that video technology works and how you can get it. I do know that we've done it for several Olympic events in the past, being partners with NBC. But again, most Olympic events are one camera shots. It's not, you know, if you're doing water polo or you're doing volleyball, pretty much you can see everything from one camera. It's a lot easier.
Let me ask you a question. I didn't know that this conversation would turn into this. This has become very interesting. So look, Howie, in the real world, not in the sports world, but in the real world, everybody has had to learn to adjust. Everybody's had to learn to work from home. Okay. Right. We're now in the process of putting 1090 back on the air. This happened from out of nowhere. It happened after we saw you at the Super Bowl. And what I'm learning now is that instead of having to have a broadcast location, and office space for sales representatives. And instead of having to own a bunch of hardware that takes in and sends out, that we can essentially be a remote radio station where everybody's where they're at, because we've all learned to broadcast from home, essentially. Right. Is it possible that eventually, to your point about costs, rather than having to send the broadcasters to the stadiums and pay for the hotels and pay for the airfare and the meals, what if the broadcasters sat in a home studio of some kind and they did have a live feed so that they could see multiple angles? And rather than having to be on site because it's a TV show or it's a radio broadcast, I can take it in. I don't care if they're there or not necessarily, because it's part of the entertainment of the game broadcast. I'm just wondering, could we see a world where broadcasters don't actually have to be on site?
I hope not. But at least in the short term, I think it's more realistic than not. I do think that there are things you can do when you're on site and glisten and glean from by being there and witnessing that you cannot possibly get from being at home. You can call the action and describe what you're seeing, but you can't feel it. And you're also not going to, how are you going to report on certain things that you would normally get when you're on site? So Scott, let's take your example. You do sidelines. And now you have some context because you've been doing this a long time. So even if you can't go up to talk to them before the game, you might be able to reach out ahead of time to one of the coaches and say, hey, this, or what can you tell me, or how's your leg, or how, or to one of the players who's nursing an injury, and get information because you have those relationships already. But for somebody who's young and new in this business who doesn't have that, how do they get any information for their broadcast other than what's in a press release or what the team is feeding you or what you've seen on a different broadcast? None of those nuggets that any announcer adds to a broadcast is going to be there. And to be honest, when you do play-by-play, all the stuff you do, maybe that's 15% of the broadcast. It's probably a higher number if it's a terrible game, and it's a lower number if it's a compelling game. But of all those, you know, those extra filler things that, you know, I always look at this. The play-by-play and the description is the bricks of the game picture. If a house is the broadcast, the bricks are the description and the play-by-play and the action. But the bricks don't stand without all the mortar that you fill it in with, and that's all the comments you get from the players and the coaches and the stats and all the things you're filling it in with, and the analyst, you know, telling us what's happening. Some of those don't happen. The house crumbles. It can only sustain itself for so long, in my opinion. We can get by in the beginning with that. And again, people, I think, will be more tolerant of it under the circumstances, just like they have been with everything else, because, well, everybody wants live sports at this point, right? They're tired of classic games.
I think at first everyone's just going to be happy that it's back, right? Like, I don't care. It's back.
We're rerunning Super Bowl I for the first time ever on Monday, Memorial Day. So I hope they're not too tired of it yet. Wait, after Monday, they'll be tired.
You guys got any 35 millimeter film lying around that no one knows about? Like this Michael Jordan documentary?
But I have reel to reel. Here you go. Here's a reel to reel with Super Bowl I right here.
That was amazing to me about The Last Dance, was that the video quality of the footage was just better than what it is almost now, because it was pretty, at 35.
Pretty good. Yep. Well, look at NFL films, right? If you watch any of the old NFL film stuff from back in the day, it's better than video because it's film. And yeah, they started that way early on, even though it was more expensive, and it stood the test of time.
Back to that reel to reel. I've thought of a new game I want to play with guests now. You show me yours, I'll show you mine.
Okay.
You're in your office. You got some cool stuff behind you. You just held a reel-to-reel. Now, yes. Alex, I want to tell you, when I got into radio, okay? When I got into radio, we used to have to take these, cut the tape, splice them together, and then feed it down the line to other radio stations versus now just emailing things. Howie's showing. Yeah. So, Howie, in the you show me yours, I show you mine thing, was that Super Bowl I on reel to reel? And did you say that Westwood One is going to re-air the very first Super Bowl?
Yeah. So for those who don't know, Westwood One was formerly CBS Radio Sports. Westwood One acquired it in 1998. and rechristened it. But yeah, so all the old Super Bowls, CBS Radio did Super Bowl one, did Super Bowl 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13, and everyone since 13. And so we have a vast archives of our old broadcasts, but up until now, we've never rebroadcast. There's never been an occasion. The league has owned the rights, still owns the rights, and has been hesitant to allow that. In fact, it never aired on television again until I think 3 years ago. They reran it for, I think, leading up to Super Bowl 50. Because the recording was missing. And so they had to find it. Somebody had it in their basement. They pieced it together, whatever it was. You can look it up online. I remember the story, but only pieces of it. So that's only rerun recently. So we have this occasion. We've been rerunning old games. We reran old tournament games during March when everything shut down. We reran old Masters during Masters weekend, which we've owned the rights to since 1956. And so we've been doing football games lately. But on Memorial Day, we're running back Super Bowl I. And since it's so unique, we're hoping there'll be, but yes, it was unreal. We had to digitize it in my home studio here. No, we actually had done that. We had digitized a few years ago, right before Super Bowl 50. But I have been digitizing a bunch of stuff in my house over these last few weeks, from cassette to digital, from DAT, for those of you who know, digital audio tape, to, WAV files. And so in addition to running back the game as it aired, we're also putting in some interviews we had done over the years with Hank Stram and Lamar Hunt and Lenny Dawson and Bart Starr and Vince Lombardi. Lombardi, just some sound, but to kind of jazz up the broadcast. And we actually are going to have another interview with one of the announcers from the first game, who coincidentally was Kevin Harlan's professor at University of Kansas. So the guy called the first Super Bowl and the guy was called the last 10 Super Bowls for us, with a conversation on Monday as well.
Howie,
so you have all these things that you are going through, the nostalgia, and you're going through memory lane with some of these things. What's the thing you miss the most about game day, from a work aspect?
The dessert buffet in the press box.
Any buffet in the press box.
Honestly, the big look. So this project of running back old games, and we ran back Magic versus Bird in the 1979 championship game, and I had never heard it from soup to nuts on radio. And coincidentally, Bobby Knight was the analyst, and was tremendous. So as a fan of the sport and as a fan of broadcasting, this was really cool. Going back through some of these, we're remembering some games that people remember, Super Bowl 42 and 51, more recent ones. But hearing Super Bowl I and them talking about Kent cigarettes on the air, which you can never do now because of FCC guidelines, kind of different, right? Cool. And just hearing how they presented a broadcast back then. At the end of the game, they never said the Packers are Super Bowl champions. That wasn't something people did back then, even in any sport. You listen to any broadcast back from then, they would give the final score and go right to a break. There was no celebration. There was no it's just a matter of matter of fact. And it's kind of, but the play-by-play from the announcers, Jack Dries and Tom Hedrick, on this broadcast, it was an outstanding broadcast when you listen back and recognize it was a different time. So I think people will enjoy it. But I've enjoyed that. The biggest thing, to answer your question, that I miss is just being there. The juice of being on site and the excitement. Because one of the things that's great about live sports is you don't know what is going to happen. So as much as people who may never have heard Super Bowl I or the 1979 championship game or last year's Masters or whatever it is, you know what's happening. You know what happened. So it takes away some of the element of surprise. And that, to me, is the best part of sports. Is it every game and every day is so different. You will see something different in every game that you're at. And I've done NFL every year since 1989. I've done, baseball. I've done NHL. I've done, the NCAA tournament. I've done all these different events, Kentucky Derby, Olympics. And every day is different. And that's what I miss and that's what I love. And I'm looking forward to a day when we can get back to that.
Howie, before you go, I said this idea came in the middle of this conversation. Pick out something behind you that you'll show us. Say, and tell us why it's significant. And by the way, I'm going to pick something out from my office too. And I'm going to pick out my significant piece because I know you'll have a tremendous appreciation for what I'm about to show you. So you pick something out. I'm going to pick something out.
All right. I got to figure this out. Give me a second. Show and tell, huh? Hang on. What do I have? Let's see.
I'm going to tell the story. Howie, tell me if you can hear me before I show you mine.
Hear you. You go ahead. I'm looking for something.
Okay. Those black labels and start drinking.
Yeah, those were gifts to me, but I do not drink, so they're full, and they've been full for years, and they will remain full.
Oh, lucky man, lucky man.
They have my name engraved on it, actually. So
Alex, as you know, Howie doesn't drink alcohol, but he's a dessert freak. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, after the Super Bowl this past year, we sent Howie a gift to say thank you for all of his help, and we sent him a Julian apple pie, because I know apple pie is like one of his favorite things. He went crazy.
It was tremendous, by the way.
Did it ship well, Howie? Did it ship well when it's not fresh like that?
It was great. It lasted about, I think, 30 hours, maybe 32 hours. Because it was fruit. It wasn't like a chocolate cake. It was a fruit pie. So fruit for breakfast, fruit for dessert, you know, everything. So it was great. All right. What am I going to show?
I'm going to show you. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to tell a quick story. So I don't remember how many years ago this is. This has to be 10, 12 years ago, I'm telling you.
Okay?
And the Chargers are in the playoffs. And I would say they're playing like the Jets or somebody. I'd have to really go back into my annals and try and figure this out.
Okay.
Dick Emberg is the play-by-play man.
Oh, I know what you're going to show. Go ahead.
Okay. And Denny Green is the color commentator, and rest in peace to both of those guys, because they were both really great friends and they were great influences in my life. So the game is going to be on Sunday. Me, Howie, Dick Emberg, and Denny Green all get together at Dick Emberg's house in La Jolla. And we had a great afternoon of watching playoff football on Saturday into Charger playoff football on Sunday. You still with me, Howie?
I'm here. Go ahead.
All right.
I'm going to see if I can find the same picture you have. Go ahead.
So here's what happened. So I was getting much closer to Dick Emberg, and years later, when Dick had now been so he was retired from calling football games, he said to me after a CBS game, it was the Chargers playing the Chiefs. Kevin Harlan was the play-by-play guy, and Dan Fouts was in San Diego because there was a halftime ceremony, so he was the color commentator. So after the game, I got this invitation from Dick Emberg, bring the whole crew to the house. And Harlan had to like leave right away, but Fouts and his wife and me and the producer, we all went to Dick's house. By this time, Dick and I are becoming much, much, much closer friends, you know? So then about 3 weeks later, Dick calls me and says, come to the house. I have a gift for you. And I have no idea what he's going to give me. I figure, you know, he's going to go into the wine cellar and hook me up, you know?
Well, which is Derry, for your colleagues who don't know, it's like a bigger wine cellar than Las Vegas altogether.
Yeah.
Nice.
Dick had an amazing wine cellar and a collection that you couldn't have believed. And I just didn't know what Dick was going to give me. He said he wanted to give me a gift. But what you probably don't know about Dick Emberg, Howie, you know, Dick was a hoarder. Make no mistake, Dick Emberg was a hoarder. Anything he'd ever done, he had it. Okay. And was trying to figure out what he could do with all of his hoarding stuff. He was trying to donate it to his university. He thought that Central Michigan would want it. So I get a call, Howie, from Dick Emberg, and he says, here, I've given you this. Can you see this?
It is his spotting board is for a game, and he signed it to you, but I don't know which game it is. I can't see that.
Well, this is the beauty of this what he's done. So Dick Emberg, the hoarder, found this board that he had created for a football game that he was going to call in 1991 on NBC.
University of Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh versus Notre Dame. And Bill Walsh is his color commentator, and Dick is the play-by-play man of Notre Dame football. And he was going through all of his old depth charts, and he found Pitt-Notre Dame 1991. And he looks, and he's just looking through the names, and he sees names. You know, Alex Van Pelt, okay, he's interesting. Curtis Martin, he's in the Hall of Fame. Reuben Brown became a 9-time All-Pro. I mean, he's looking through these names. And then
Is there a kicker listed?
Yeah, and then there's kickers. And he has Scott Kaplan, 6'1", 180-pound junior from Coral Springs, Florida. And he's got a couple of little stats on me. And he's got these numbers. And he sees this, and he realizes, oh, my goodness, I called a football game that you were a player in, and I had no idea. So he signed it to me, to Scott, continuing to get a kick out of life. Oh, my, Dick Emberg. So there you go, Howie. That's a little piece of my memorabilia in my office here.
That's awesome. And Dick was a great guy to work with and to know. And the funny part is, if he had had little pictures of all the players from that 1991 game, your hair probably would have looked the same as it does now, right?
Except for all the gray I got going on.
Okay, I got it too. I can't even keep it. It was a bottle of gel today just to keep it from falling completely. So
you look money with the goatee and the sideburns. You are looking money. All right, give me something before you go. Show me something.
Button shops. All right, hold on. So I got two quick things. So every 10 years I do a credential montage of all the different cool events that I've been to and been credentialed for and broadcast. So this is one of them that's right here that I took off the wall. The other ones are downstairs. But you see, like, the last game for Wayne Gretzky, and here's a Super Bowl, an NFL draft, and here's Olympics over here, and Major League Baseball, and whatever else kind of be in each one of these games. Here's the only game in the 20th century where a baseball team, Major League Baseball team, scored a run in every inning. Things like that. I'm looking to see what else is here.
That's a really cool idea.
The Marlins expansion draft. It's not all of them. It's just kind of a different array of different ones. I've got boxes and boxes of all of them organized, but for the ones that are hanging up. So that's kind of cool. Hold on. I'm going to swivel. And then I got a picture here of – can you see who that is, Scott?
See, is that Jack Buck?
Jack Buck and Hank Stram.
Hank Stram, okay.
And Vin Scully.
We did Monday Night Football together. And there's Vin Scully from the 96 World Series. This is the game where Andrew Jones hit two home runs to start the World Series.
That so is a mustache, Howie. My God.
Right? And a little That's and a awesome. Lot the neck is a lot skinnier too, if you look. Really skinny neck there.
Well, I want to go back to the one with you and Vin Scully though, because that is like.
And then I've got this, which is one of my favorite games I ever produced and worked on the production for. Was Cal Ripken breaking the Lou Gehrig's record of consecutive game streak? Norman Baer was the main producer. I was the second producer on the broadcast, and was one of my favorite memories of all the games. So that's over here too, and we can spend the whole hour on showing me something. If you want
to. Dude, I would just be happy just to keep seeing that picture of you and Vin Scully with that mustache, dude, and that hairdo.
I was 20, I feel like 28 years old, I guess. So
That's the color that Scott dyes his hair normally. The color of that mustache.
hang on. Let's show you. Hang on. We're going to show them the reel-to-reel machine in addition to the hang on. Let's flip this here for a second. Since we showed them a reel-to-reel. There's an actual reel-to-reel machine.
That is so old. So
the candle is not a part of it.
I love the candle.
And then here you go. Here's a splicing pencil. Remember those, Scott?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And the splicing block. Anyway,
is that still operational?
It is actually. I said I dubbed off some stuff last week. Actually, unfortunately, when Coach Shula had passed away, and we were doing an obit for him in the game we were running that night, I had to go back to some old material from when I worked in Miami, and I had it on reel to reel and was able to dub it off.
Howie, this is awesome, man. It's great to talk to you. Hear your opinions about what you think sports broadcasting is going to look and sound like going forward. And I'm just glad you and your family, everybody's healthy and safe there in New Jersey, as I know you've commuted back in and out of the city. So, hey, thanks for everything always. And thanks for this great conversation.
Anytime, guys. Pleasure to be with you. Hopefully we'll do it in person another time, because that means we'll have some live sports and I'll be flying out to California. And or Scott, you'll do the show on the road for us somewhere as a sideline reporter. But I don't think that's anytime soon, but let's hope it's before the end of the calendar year.
Amen to that. Howie, great to be with you, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Howie.
Take care.
See you, Howie.
All right, that was a really fun conversation with Howie Dinneroff. Alex, please make sure that from now on with guests in home offices, let's do a game of you show me yours, I'll show you mine. And then we ask that person to find something interesting, and then I'll find something that I'll try and sell as interesting.
You went with the heat. You went with the heat right away, though. Are you sure you want to play that game? You got you got good stuff in there?
I have a lot of really cool stuff in here that I think people would find interesting. But then again, maybe I'm wrong.
Dude, that was my second favorite interview we've ever done. I found that to be informative. I was glued into it. The stuff that he knows and the way that he has seen behind the scenes, and for him to tell us what he thinks it's going to be like going forward was fascinating. I absolutely enjoyed that.
Who was the first?
Jim Lampley. When a man called OJ Juicy, I'm in.
Yeah. Hey, Alex, can you do me a favor on the thumbnail today for the YouTube? Can you take when Howie is showing the picture of him and Vin Scully? I think that was hilarious. God, that mustache, dude. Howie, thank you.
What?
Yeah, his was.
Oh, do you have a mustache?
I can't see it.
You know what? Forget y'all.
Yeah, little peach fuzz.
Forget y'all. Thanks for the support.
Yeah. Hey, so let's do this. Again, I want to thank all of our great sponsors, Corky's Pest Control, Mountain Trust Mortgage and Realty Services. But now, why don't we get to the highlight of the day, man, being presented by Torealistics. Or wait a second. Before I even get there, I guess one quick thing. Just my mind is racing. You know, you talked to Howie about all the different stuff that could happen. Alex, I thought you brought up a really interesting point about soccer games being called by the same people, but in a production studio somewhere. Mm-hmm. Same thing happens. Like, I like the Tour de France on TV. These guys would be sitting in a studio, but they're just watching the video and they're calling what they see. I could see a time where you don't need the all the broadcasters at the stadiums. I don't know that you. I mean, I guess you.
I'm hoping though that it's a temporary thing. You know, until we get through all this, however long that may be. Because there is a difference between a broadcaster there feeling the emotion of the game as to watching it on a screen. I know this because I watch a lot of soccer on Univision. It's just not the same when they're not there. And you could tell they're not there. It's almost like they're talking to each other in a talk format because they're in a studio.
The energy's not the same.
Yeah, so I hope it's just temporary, but there's ways around it, man. It's going to happen.
I guess my point was going to be this. That in this new world that we're living and broadcasting and podcasting and everything else kind of casting from, where we've all learned to work in different ways, and you see ESPN, you see CNBC, they're all doing things from remote. In the 1090 world, as we're talking about the rebirth of 1090, the one thing I hear us talking about all the time is, okay, so we used to have these studios in Sereno Valley, and they used to have a lot of hardware in the studios, and there were microphones. And then on the other side, there was a sales side, and then there was a promotion side. And it was this really expensive office space. And the thing we keep talking about is, in the world of people working from home and being more productive, maybe we should never have office space, and we shouldn't have sales guys sitting in cubicles, and we shouldn't have a promotions department, and we don't need to have a home-based studio because we can do it all like this. And that's what we're discussing daily as we're trying to get 1090 back on the air. Because if you're doing a remote broadcast from downtown San Diego and you dial into 1090 in Sereno Valley and then they put you up on the transmitter, same can be said for from here or where you guys are, right to somebody else in LA or New York or wherever, and they can do it. We don't even need to have a studio. So it's talking to Howie about the future of the game broadcasts reminds me of how much it's like that in talking about putting an on-air station
together. I'll say this. I know that this is very interesting to us because we're in this industry. Mm. But I will say for the majority of people watching this right now and listening that will be listening on 1090, they don't give a shit where we're at. Just give us good. Give us good content, and that's all we care about. Give us sports, and that's all we care about. So let's just make sure that no matter what we do as a company, that we just do the best on-air work, because it doesn't matter where you are after that.
I completely, totally agree. Nobody gives a shit if you're at your house or if three people are in three different places. If the guest is in New Jersey and he's on Zoom, as long as it sounds good coming out of my car radio, if I'm ever in my car again, I agree. All right, it is time now for my man, Grande Alejandro Padilla, and he has the highlight of the day, man.
It's time for the highlight of the day, man.
Do you want to get high, man?
I'm just really high.
Highlight of the day brought to you by Torii Holistics. You guys go to scottnvr.com. Click on Torii Holistics. It takes you to this page, the Great Friends discount page with the promo code GRANDE. Minimum $75 purchase gets you 20% off your next order at Torii Holistics. And with Memorial Day this weekend, here's some deals running from tomorrow through the 25th. A bunch of drinks are 20% off. Dixie drinks, legal beverages, level, and heavy hitters are all 20% off this weekend. And if you're an edibles person, 25% off all moon edibles. That's happening this weekend at Torii Holistics. And reminder, if you do not want to pay cash, you can go in-store now, pay with your card. So if you do curbside, though, that's still cash only. That's just a heads up. Okay, this story, guys, might be a more of a what is you doing, but I found it hilarious, so I'm just going to go with it. So bear with me, okay? On screen right now, and if you go to your content page, there's a picture of a man that looks like he's dead in a coffin.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking news, he's not. Mm-hmm. This is the Peru. This is a mayor of a town in Peru. His name is Jaime Rolando Urbina Torres. He's the mayor. He's the mayor of Tantara. So this is what this guy did. He hid in a coffin and faked his own death when officers arrived to arrest him. Now, why did they arrive to arrest him? Well, because he was been breaking social distancing rules and he was out with his friends getting fucked up. He was drunk as hell and pictures were released of him being out drunk as hell. So they go in to arrest him and he's there pretending that he's dead while wearing a face mask. And the funny part and why it's the highlight of the day for me is because cops didn't go in there and just take that picture and we're like, oh, what are you doing? No, they made him go back into the coffin to show that he faked his own death. So they went in there, arrested him, like, what the hell are you doing? And he's drunk as hell. And then they're like, you know what? Get back in the coffin. We need a picture of this. And he actually went back in the coffin. And his other buddies, I guess, the guys he was drinking with, were out like hiding in like pantries and like drawers and stuff or under the sink. Everybody was hiding. So shout out to the mayor of Peru.
Now, wait a second. I always love it when a newscaster has a Hispanic tongue and is reading something in English and then all of a sudden turns on the dialect.
Yeah.
So the way you were saying this, you were like, the mayor of whatever city in
Tantara, Peru.
See, so you're like, the mayor of a Peruvian city faked his own death.
Yeah.
And then right away you say his name. Say his name.
Jaime Rolando Urbina Torres.
See, right. So you the mayor of a Peruvian town faked his own death. And then you say his name.
Yeah.
Jaime
Rolando Urbina Torres.
See, of the city is
Tantara, Peru.
Oh my God.
See, right. Yeah. And then what happens is then you're right back to English. Yeah. Right back to regular English.
Yeah.
You know, but when you have the Hispanic tongue, man, you can throw it in there, dude. It's
I love it. I love it when I see like a Caucasian person that knows Spanish do it. There's nothing funnier. I do it on purpose because I know it makes you fucking laugh. So I'm just gonna be like, Jaime Rolando Santa Armina de Guadalajara de Tantaro, Peru. Like I'll just do it just because it's funny.
You know what I do? It's funny. I have these friends in Mexico, and so when I mention their name, I say it with the way they say it. You know, so instead of just saying Andre, I'm like Andre.
Yeah.
And people are like, who? I'm like Andre.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Well, you remember during all the negotiations with the Picharas, you weren't saying Andres Pichara. You were saying Andres Pichara. You were trying to say his name.
Sí, es mucho respeto. Yeah. Sí.
Yeah.
Sí. Muy bien. All right, John Browner, you are standing by. You are ready to go. You got a question. What is you doing?
What are you doing? What are you doing?
What is you doing?
Yo, man, it's been a while, but I want y'all to know the NBA is coming back. And when the NBA does come back, this is what I don't need y'all doing. Remember the malice at the palace?
Yes.
Remember that one time Ron Artest when all hell broke loose in the stands? Remember that time Jermaine O'Neal slid punched somebody? I have seen a lot of fights in my time, unfortunately, on basketball courts. I'm from a different part of the world. This was quite possibly the greatest brawl I have ever seen indoors between basketball players. That Jermaine O'Neal slide punch, easily, by far, the number one punch of all time in basketball. I'm bringing this up because when the NBA does come back and there are no fans in the stands, this malice at the palace will be one for the ages that will go down in history. And my what is you doing goes to the man slid punched by Jermaine O'Neal, bruh. Don't let the drinks get your ass whooped. What is you doing?
Historical what is you doing?
Back in the day, what is you doing?
Mm-hmm. And what prompted this today?
So I was on Twitter yesterday. And because of the Jordan documentary, they are now going through all the documentaries of stuff that has happened in the NBA. People are running stuff on NBA TV. They're running these conversations that people have had. The Rudy Tomjanovich punch was that was brought up. And then this showed up. And I remember this, not because I saw the game, but I remember turning onto SportsCenter after this had happened. And it was wall to wall. And when you start seeing people get hit, you go, oh my God, what is happening? And so I never watched SportsCenter from beginning to end, and then the next one over again from beginning to end until that happened. Because I had never seen anything like that, period. Like that, for people to be running on the court, fist fighting NBA players, I've never seen that in any other sport. Like, no one would even think of doing that in football.
No, they've done it in hockey. They've done it in hockey, where the hockey players jumped up into the stands and beat the ever-living shit out of all the fans, dude.
Yeah, but whoever ran on the ice throwing fists?
Yeah.
Nobody.
No, but how about even baseball? Like, there's been times where fans have been dragged into it, you know, from right by the field. Yeah.
The White Sox fans beat up that first base coach for the Royals. I remember that.
Hmm. Yeah, I know. You're right, though. Oh, that's right. That's right. Those guys mm-hmm. did. Yeah, they jumped onto the field. That's right.
Whooped his ass.
Yeah. All right, there you go. What is you doing? Listen, I want to say to everybody who's watching and who's listening, how much we love having you guys here every day. Yesterday, I actually went out for a walk and I was listening and watching on YouTube on my phone the whole time and was interacting and was in the chat. And then I was over on Facebook and I was over there too. So listen, whatever it is you're doing during the day that we all get to spend this time together, I look forward to it. I can tell you that right now. So I guess my ask on the way out is support all of our sponsors, Corky's Pest Control, 1-800-901-1102. Mountain Trust Mortgage and Realty Services, 858-376-1299. Save 20% at Torrey Holistics with our promo code GRANDE. Shouting out Total T Clinic.
Shout out.
Tours, yeah. SMSglobal.com. We appreciate you. And CoastCarePartners.com. Use our referral code GREATFRIENDS. I guess my only ask is, hey, man, we're so close. We're so close to launching the Sided mobile app. Keep it going, dude.
Like my ideas today? You see
your ideas are awesome, dude. I love having you wrapped up in it. Browner, keep them coming, dude. But for everybody that's using it, playing on it, this Bernard Thompson's unstoppable. He's just a machine, this guy.
I think it's either going to be two things with the app. He's either going to crush it more because it's way faster. So he's just going to be like bam, 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 bam. Or everyone's going to be back on it that fast because it's easier to use it on the app. It's so fast on the app.
Yeah. So let's all keep it going, man. I just appreciate everybody so much, man. You have no idea. Okay, listen, we got to go. I got to go today, man. I had so much going. I sound like a wrestler, brother. I keep saying man after things. Or maybe it's like Gruden, man. I tell you what, man. We got to go.
When's 1090 coming back? Just kidding. Just kidding. Let's go.
See what you did to him? See what you did to him?
Eyebrows perked up. Later, y'all.